We have the privilege. Let me ask you this. What is your retirement plan? Do you want to, have a little shop and build birdhouses? A lot of people have that as a retirement plan. As, you know, they reach a certain age, this is what they're going to do. Well, this couple that we have that have come on our staff, their retirement plan, I can guarantee you, is not any of that. It's to be used as long as they have breath to reach people for Christ. That's why they're here. And I would like to introduce to you Pastors Denny and Dee Archer, our new children's pastors.
I guess we could say howdy.
Yeehaw.
Oh. Why, my oh my, you are all so old out there. But you know, I won't hold that against you. You know, it's exciting. We've done children's ministries for years. And we've been senior pastors for 20 years and associate pastors for another 20 years. But we never get tired of sharing Jesus. Amen? And you know, I hope that this whole church is going to begin to vibrate with the enthusiasm and excitement of reaching kids and seeing kids being turned on to the Lord Jesus Christ. And the only way that they can get turned on to the Lord Jesus Christ is they see that you're turned on for the Lord Jesus Christ. We have to be turned on and preaching Jesus. Amen? And when we go to kids' church, we have something. We always check our attitudes. Our attitudes have to be right. They have to be right. If our attitudes are in the dumps, then we're in the dumps and we're not effective. But when our attitudes are right, we can be sharing the nature of Jesus Christ. Amen? So we have something called an attitude check. Okay? It's checking to see how their attitudes are. It's to focus them on what they're really here for. And so when I say attitude check, they say,
praise the Lord.
Yeah, that's right. Now, not just praise the Lord. It's praise the Lord, brother and sister. Hallelujah. And then when they get old like you and I, or you, I'm not old yet, they say, praise the Lord. I just want to worship God. Hey, that's not the way it goes. So attitude check.
Praise the Lord.
Oh, they did pretty good.
I think
they did. Let's try that again. Attitude check.
Praise the Lord.
Now we're really going to find out. Ladies, attitude check. Attitude check. Ladies.
Praise the Lord.
Okay, fellas, attitude check. Boy, I tell you, we've got a hot one here now. Praise God. Praise the Lord. Well, you know, I found that there's a difference between a man and a woman. Yes, I found that out after 66 years. No, I've been finding that out all along. But not just a man and a woman, but there's a difference between you and your brother and sister in Christ. And we're all built differently. And we're trying to get to know each other, and I'm gonna find that you're gonna be different than me, and you're gonna look at things differently than I will, and I will look at things differently than you do. But, there are two types of individuals that I seem to find very prominently. One is linear minded, and the other is the multitasker. Linear-minded and the multitasker. Okay, linear-minded, how can I explain that? The reason it says linear is that the shortest distance between two points is a straight line. Okay? Okay, I don't want to be corrected by my grandchildren later, but they'll say, Grandpa, it's not a line. The distance between two points is a line segment. So I thought I better mention that. By the way, this is the better part of our family right here. Part of our family. We have the Knopf Dapsigers are here. It's Holly and Chris. Holly's the real good looking one. And then Sarah, you all know who that is. And then we have Ryan and Eli. So we're so happy to have them here today. And it's exciting to be close to them once again. Praise the Lord. Anyway, we have the linear Christian and then or minded, and then we have the multitasker. Now the multitasker is the one that has 10 tasks going at one time. The multitasker is like one of the youth pastors a music leader we had before. He could be in a room. There could be 5 conversations going on at the same time, and he could know what's going on in every one of those conversations. Now, the linear-minded person can only carry one conversation at a time. I mean, if there's someone else, or if you're doing something in the room, gentlemen, if you're watching TV or something, your wife comes in and says something, and you don't even have any idea what she said, you're a linear-minded person. Okay? Well, that's the way I am. I'm linear minded. I remember that Holly herself here, when she was just a little, she won't remember this, but when she was just a little tiny girl, and she wanted, to talk to me, it's almost like, Daddy, you cannot be talking to me unless you are facing me. So I'd be holding her in my arms, and she'd grab onto my cheeks, and turn her head toward me so that when I was talking to her, I was facing her. So that's kind of anyway, something. Now the multitasking individual is, like I say, the one that has can be in many tasks at the same time. Multitaskers need a list more than a linear-minded person needs a list because it gets them back on the task they should be on. But I can remember we were moving and we were combining totes. You know, totes? There were like 2 totes of pictures. The linear-minded person takes one tote and combines it with the other tote and they're done. The multitasking individual, like, looks at every picture as they're combining it and drives the linear-minded person nuts because let's just get the job done, right? You see, the linear-minded person says, here's where I am. There's the completion of the task. I'm going to move that direction all the time. We keep that in mind. So kind of keep that in mind, too. When we go for a walk, I love to walk because we communicate when we walk. We're walking, we're communicating, and all of a sudden I look to my side, and there's no one there. And so I said to myself, self, where is she? I turn around, and she's down on almost her knees with her camera taking a picture of a piece of mushroom. But she never missed a word that I said. She knew exactly what I was talking about all the time. All the time. Well, anyway, that will give you a little bit of an idea. You will remember that I am linearly minded, and she is a multitasker. And it's going to be exciting to just watch around the church and see who are like me and who's like her. Anyway. Okay. Well. In 1 Thessalonians 5:12, it says, "Know those that labor amongst you," and so we're going to give you a little bit of some insight as to who we are, and we're going to start by letting my better half share in testimony.
Okay. Well, first of all, I do want to thank you so much for your awesome, warm welcome to us. And so many of you have given us little gifts and brought things to the house and just, you know, given us wonderful hugs. And we appreciate all that. We feel like God has absolutely orchestrated definitely orchestrated this move of ours. It is definitely by the hand of the Lord, and we'll probably share things like that as we go along, but we just see God's mighty hand in this. So I want to share a little bit very shortly and briefly. I did not grow up in a Christian home. My parents had very, very high morals and taught us right and wrong, but we really didn't know Jesus as our Savior. My grandmother did know Jesus as her Savior. She was a born-again Catholic, and she taught me a lot about God. And I want to tell you that my grandmother was the most important person in my life. So all of you grandparents who are helping with your grandchildren, you are jewels and gems, and God has a special place and a special ministry for you in the life of those children. And don't count it lightly. It is very, very valuable and needed. Okay? Well, when we were married, and our oldest daughter at that time was about 3.5 years old, and we were going to be going on vacation, I didn't know the Lord as my Savior. My brother did, and I went to my brother's room one day, and I said, okay, Paul, I'm going to be gone on vacation for about a week. I need some good books to read. What do you have? And he goes, oh, just go pick up anything off the bookshelf. So I went over to the bookshelf, and I thought, oh, well, there's a lot of books up here. I'll take this one, The Late Great Planet Earth, and I'll take this one, The Cross and the Switchblade. And you know what? God had that appointed. So reading The Late Great Planet Earth first, I kept reading it while we were out in the boat fishing. I'd say, I was reading the book. I wasn't fishing. I was reading the book. I say, Denny, did you know that all of the prophecies of the Old Testament were fulfilled in Jesus? I never heard that before. And so many other things. Well, one night he decided to go out fishing. I said, no, I've got to finish this book. And the Lord and the Holy Spirit got a hold of my life, and I broke down and sobbed and cried for about a half an hour and asked Jesus to come into my life to be my Lord and Savior. And that was the beginning. That was July 3rd, 1973 at about 7:30 at night. We'll never forget that time, okay? So we get back home in Worthington, Minnesota, and the first thing I thought, I've got to find a church. And my husband had said, I shared what happened to me, and Denny said, well, that's good. I hope it works out for you. And I said, well, do you mind if I find a church for us to attend? And he goes, no, just go ahead. And when you find one, let me know. So I went church shopping, and I went to one, and I'm not going to name names of denominations, but I went to one. I thought, well, that was good, but it's kind of dead. And I went to another one. I thought, well, they're preaching about Jesus, and they're preaching about, you know, being saved. So that's a possibility, but I need to look a little bit more. So the third one, it happened to me that my brother was there that particular weekend. And I said, Paul and Denny, would you like to go to church with me? We're going to go. I want to go to this one around the lake. And it happened to be the Evangelical Covenant Church. And I say that because that's where Cheryl's dad and mom were pastoring. So we went there.
Don't start now.
So we went there, and I had, now my voice is gone too. I just had such a strong feeling of Jesus' presence and the Holy Spirit and Jesus just coming and saying, come follow me. And I had everything to do. All I could do was almost hold on to the pew to keep from going forward during the time Pastor Dale was preaching, to go up forward and just commit my life to Jesus in front of everyone. And I didn't do that, but boy, in my heart, I sure did. So that is kind of my testimony as to how I came to know Jesus. And we stayed there at the church, and I think, Denny, you're going to continue on from here. Is that right?
I can.
Okay. Am I out of order? I may be out of order here, but okay. There you go. I may stay here for a few minutes.
Oh. You know what she's saying here, so she can correct me, right? right, guys? You know, and I don't get it just right. In July, yes, she accepted the Lord as my brother and I were out fishing and came in, and I actually used those words. Well, I hope it works out for you. And she had found a church. We went to the church, and through this whole thing, she was a new Christian. I mean, just brand new. She had no background at all. Remember that. And so I grew up in the church. I was baptized in the Methodist church as a baby, and I started my confirmation class in the First Lutheran Church, and I completed, the church burnt down. So, you know, the church is in the people, not the building. But the church burnt down, and we began to go into the Presbyterian Church, and I completed my confirmation, was confirmed Presbyterian. And this is really kind of wild, because I was confirmed Presbyterian, got saved in the Covenant Church and baptized in the Holy Spirit in the Covenant Church. So I made the rounds. I mean, if you've come in a denomination except for Catholicism, I've been a part of it. But so that whole year, she was just new in the Lord, and I had some head knowledge because I went to church, I went through confirmation and all of this, so I had some head knowledge. And so she thought I was saved. And I remember one evening that we were at the house, and I said, you know, and I just blew her away. I said, you know, I've been thinking about getting saved too. And she just had no idea. Now, this was in July. It was on New Year's Eve of that same year, 1973, that we went to the Covenant Church, and there was a movie called The Thief in the Night was being played. And, you know, we were the first non-Christian evangelists. You got that? Non-Christian evangelists. She was a Christian, but I was a non-Christian. And we opened up our home, even though I was not a Christian, to kids in the community, and they came to our home to learn about Jesus. So what do? We bring them to church. So that night we brought one of the young ladies that worked at our store. We had a grocery store. Oh, that's a whole new story. But we brought all of our help to church. And so I'm sitting there beside Dee, and this other gal's on the other side, and she's just weeping. And I'm saying, oh, she's going to go forward. You know, hey, pretty, yeah. That's, because I thought I was getting a feather in my cap if we could get her saved, see, even though I wasn't a Christian. And the next thing I know, I was staring at the pastor in the front of the church. And the pastor happened to be Cheryl's father, Pastor Dale Sandberg. And he led me to the Lord that night in 1973. And God called us almost immediately into the ministry. We had that Bible study at home, and we had up to 40 teenagers. These were not little kids. These were teenagers who were coming to our house for Bible study every week. And I think Pastor Dale got wind of that, and he says, why don't you come and work with our teenagers at Covenant Church? So I became the youth director there at the Covenant Church, and Cheryl and Tim were in our first youth group. So amazing how things come around, isn't it? Well, that's a little bit of our way past. Now, did you have anything else to share? I'm going to go on and move rather rapidly. Oh, I must have got it all right, folks. Praise the Lord. Well, we from that time, we did move, and you've probably heard about our move from Pastor Tim and Pastor Cheryl, but we moved from Minnesota to Oregon. Had a convoy of four families, and we came to Oregon, and God, we ministered in Oregon for 25 years in Oregon. We were at Evangel Assembly in Albany. We were there first as youth pastors under Hubert Book. And then we went to our first church, our first pastor was in Spray, Oregon. How many hunters know Spray, Oregon? Just a couple. Okay. Well, it's a best kept secret. Anyway, Spray, Oregon. And we found out one thing there in our first pastorate, and that is, don't let anyone tell you you can't do it. Okay? Don't let anyone tell you you're too small. Because we did everything there. We started with youth ministry, our children's ministries, and grew from there. We started our ministry with just a few kids, and pretty soon we had a whole basement full of kids. We started a release time class, and we had practically the entire student body coming to release time classes. And we began musicals that we ran in the release time class. And it came to Christmas time, and the school had their own Christmas program, so they put on a program, and then they had us close out the program with a Christmas musical in a public gymnasium. That's exciting. You know? Amen? Amen. Come on, you gotta get an attitude check. Okay. No, just want to make sure you're there. So we had, and then we went to the youth, and it was exciting. As a pastor, it was about drove me, I had to be young. Because we would go, I would have a midweek service on Wednesday with the adults, and while we were closing up, the kids were in the parsonage, hopefully not tearing it up. But, and I would go from there over there and speak to them, and so Wednesday night, we had a great ministry there in Spray. Then we went to Madras, if you know where Madras, Oregon is, and then God called us miraculously and to Tillamook, where we pastored for 10 years on the coast. There is a place rainier than Lyons. And each place we would go, we would start by ministering to children. Children are really the heart of the church. They're heart of the church. The Bible says that if you're not as a little child, you can't enter the kingdom of God. Think about that. You know, and that's why it's so important for us to reach them. The video that we had up here, how true it is. So many are reached before the ages of 12. I've heard much higher percentages, by the way, than the 50% that they said there. But anyway, so we went to Tillamook. From Tillamook, we went to Yonkala. It's down by drain. I always kid people like, hey, you got to go down the drain. You know, but you'll find Yonkala there. And then, after being a senior pastor for 20 years, God promoted us. He promoted us. I had, Doug Thomas was ministering in Redmond, Oregon, and he said, we need a children's pastor. And he knows our reputation. He knew how we worked with children. And he said, I'd sure like to have you. I really feel God would have you come and be our children's pastor. So for a full year, we felt the same way. But he kept going to his board, and they weren't quite sure it was ready yet. And da 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 da. And I kept calling him every week. Now, yeah, is it time? Well, I don't know. I'm going to talk to the board a little bit more. And we really want you to come. We really want you to come. Finally, I looked at Dee and I said, "We're going." I said, "God wants us there." So I called up Pastor Doug, and I said, "Pastor Doug, we're coming. We've got a 24-foot cherry travel trailer, and we'll park it. If you let us park it in the back of the church, we'll live there, and we'll minister. We'll just trust God." And it was amazing what happened there. God just opened up doors for us like you wouldn't believe. We got there, and we began the ministry. And within a couple of weeks, a very well-to-do family in town gave us a house to reside as long as we wanted to, rent-free, no rent. And then the church took an offering for us once a month, met all of our expenses. And God did just a wonderful work there. We had, we started at about 12, from first grade to fifth or sixth grade. We started at 12, and it soon grew and kept growing until the church itself was at 150 about the time we came. And when we left, after 3 years, the children's church had grown to almost 100. And we had an 80-voice choir that did a couple of our children's musicals. It was awesome. The church grew to over 500. So, you know, small beginnings. And we don't just, you know, I heard the expression, we count people because people count. You may think that, you know, God wants, he desires for this place to be filled. Amen? I mean, he loves every one of you, but he doesn't love them out there any less than he loves you. And we need to realize that it's so important for us to minister to children, to minister to small families. You are doing a fabulous job. Some of the grandparents and others that are getting the kids here, that's half the battle. You're in children's ministry and you didn't even know it. You didn't even know it. Well, you know what happened after Redmond. We were called to start a school. All this time we had been in education also. In Tillamook we had a school there. The 10 years that we were there, we had a Christian school. We started a school in Yonkala. We started a school also in Redmond. Besides, my lovely wife, her passion is education. And she was so much a part of those schools. Well, anyway, up in Alaska, we got a call from a pastor there who got my resume by mistake. He was looking for a music minister. I'm the last person you want as a music minister, brother. And so from there on, it's another story. We were there for 15 years. Now here, we're going to go to the book of Acts. If you have your Bibles or your electronic devices, turn to Acts 29. Acts 29. Now, I'm going to tell you so you don't get too excited. There's only 28 chapters in Acts. Okay, so you can stop right there. Acts continues on past the 28th chapter and continues on into our lives right now. You are experiencing the 29th chapter of Acts as God works through your life and the life of this church every week, week by week, or day by day and week by week. We're experiencing the 29th chapter of Acts. And I'm going to share with you how we came to Lyons. You need to know that. I'm not sure how much Pastor Tim or Pastor Cheryl have shared with you, but I will begin as far back, not very far back, but anyway. It was about, not last year, but 2 years ago, Father's Day. Father's Day. We decided to come and surprise Pastor Tim and Pastor Cheryl. We were so excited about hearing that they had taken a church in Lyons, Oregon. And so we came with our family from Albany. And we came into the church building, and I never even told Dee this, but when I walked through that door, you know, I'm not this thing for the fuzzies. You know, I don't get the fuzzies very often, but I had the fuzzies, and I realized, I said, Tim and Cheryl, this is a small church. They're doing a great job. Pastor Tim, Pastor Cheryl, I will remember that. Anyway. And so I got the fuzzies, and I thought to myself, I don't know, boy, it would sure be nice to be back into children's ministries again. I've been a superintendent, principal of a Christian school, 150 problems. That's how many kids we had. Challenges. We don't have any problems where I'm at. It's always challenges. Anyway, I yearned for that. Knowing that it would never be possible. you know, under the circumstances. And just a few days before we went on vacation this last summer, Cheryl posted something online about a sign or something that was out here, and my lovely Pastor D was looking on Facebook. I don't know if Facebook is from God or not, but at least this time, even God can get through on Facebook. But she looked at that post, and she came to me and she said, God told me that's our church. And I said, oh yeah? Mister, don't believe it. That's me. It's not possible. It's not possible. And so we getting ready to go on vacation and we're sitting in the Anchorage airport. I even forgot what she said. And sitting in the Anchorage airport and I'm thinking, well, we're going to get in about 4:30, 5 o'clock in the morning, and school was still going on in Albany, and the kids were going to be in school, and Holly and Chris were going to be at their jobs, Holly in the school, and Chris at his job, and what are we going to do? And so I said, why don't you text Tim Cheryl? Now this is at about 12:30, 1 o'clock at night. We're taking the red eye. So I said, text them and see if they're available for lunch. So what happened is that, Cheryl gets up in the evening and sees that there's a text. And so she checks her phone. There's a text. And so what does she do? She wakes up Pastor Tim. Okay, and so I find out later, Tim says they couldn't get back to sleep again. But unbeknownst to us, you know, God had been dealing in their hearts and placing us on their hearts this last year, you know, and you know the story with their home that they got up on the hill now, or in the mountain. And everything, and making the parsonage available. So, we get here for lunch, and we're at the gingerbread house, they call it, or gingerbread cafe, or what's it called? What? Lunch. North Fork? I don't know. Anyway, we had lunch. And I don't know, you probably know your pastor better than I do as a pastor. I haven't known him as a pastor, but Tim is great for the direct approach. You don't beat around the bush. We sat down and he looked across at me and he said, Denny D, we want you to come and be our children's pastors. And I'm sitting there. This is not what I was supposed to have. I was just kind of tongue-tied, as you can see. And out of respect for 42 years of friendship, what does anyone say when someone offers something like that? I'll pray about it. We said, I'll pray about it. So I had just gotten ready. We were going to start school. It was to begin. We begin in the middle of August. So we were going back, and when we got back from our vacation, we were starting school. So we said, I'll pray about it. Well, if you say I'll pray about it, you better pray about it. You know, I mean, you better do that. And so I had a wrestling with God for 3 days. 3 days. My commitment to Eagle River Christian School, the teachers, the parents, the students was there. My commitment to the pastor and the board at Kingsway Ministry Center. Those are a couple of my excuses, right? And my last one was a good one. I'm almost 67 years old. 67-year-old children's pastor? Come on now, God. When I was here at 50, I was the oldest children's pastor in the state of Oregon. If I go back there at 67, I'll be the oldest children's pastor in the United States, probably. But I've learned a long time ago that God has ways of shooting down your excuses. Because when I was 25 years old, I gave him the same excuse. I'm too old. At 25, back in Worthington, I went to a retreat and I'm too old. I've got a family to support and my education. I went to college, but it was all in sciences, nothing with English and anything like that. So they had a panel at that retreat. And on that panel were three individuals. One was about 60 or 70 years old, and they're ministers, and they were men in the ministry. Another had a large family, I think it was six or seven. And the third one was going back to school to become a minister, and they had a panel there. Shot down every one of my excuses. So I was getting a little bit nervous. So I try to go to the scripture and look to, not in a comparison, but I'd look at the call that God made to men, and especially the Old Testament. And so in my prayer time, God brought to my mind Moses. Now Moses was 40 years old when he killed the Egyptian, and he was exiled, or actually fled from Egypt. He settled in Midian, where he married Zipporah, the daughter of Jethro, the priest of Midian. And there he settled in 40 years. He started to raise his family, and he was 80 years old, just a little older than me, but not much. And all of a sudden, he's watching the flocks. He's in charge of the flocks of Jethro. And he comes home one night, and he looks out there, and he sees a burning bush. A burning bush. Did you know that Lyons has a burning bush? You start the fire in the parsonage, and if you look out the window, the other bush is burning. Looks like it's burning anyway. It does. Honestly, the flames just jump up from the bush. It looks like it's burning. Well, he looks at the burning bush, and it wasn't being consumed. And it wasn't someone's fireplace, believe me. And so he goes up to take a look at this oddity. And he gets up there, and God speaks out of the burning bush. And he says, first of all, he says, take off your sandals, for you're on holy ground. And so he takes his sandals off. Then he says, Moses, I want you to go to Lyons, Oregon, and be the children's pastor. You didn't know that Moses was a children's pastor, did you? He was. Haven't you read where he delivered the children of Israel from Egypt? So Moses was settled. His family was started. My life was settled. My family had all grown. He was preparing for retirement. I was preparing for retirement. I identified with Moses. Then I went to Gideon. Now Gideon was thrashing wheat in a wine press. Now that's like taking a baseball bat and swinging it in a closet. Okay, that's a very tight area. And he was doing so to provide food for his family. And then an angel appeared to Gideon and said, "The Lord is with thee, thou mighty man of valor." I think that a lot of times Gideon gets a bum steer because he was identifying him as a mighty man of valor. He was concerned. He did what he had to do to provide for his family. And if that meant going into a wine vat, and so that if they would do this, thresh it out in the open, the Midianites would see what was going on. They'd come down and they'd steal it from them. Make them do the work and steal it from them. So I see him as a mighty man of valor. I also see him as a very humble man, because he said, "I'm the least of my house." But where I see the influence that Gideon had, I see that he, all of a sudden, he's got 30,000 men with him. Now, you tell me he didn't have influence if he went out and said, "God told me to gather an army. Now, what do you think, Pastor Tim, if you went out, you think if, how many do you think you could gather if you didn't have, you were not a man of influence? He was a man of influence. He went out and he gathered them later. But before that, he had to decide. He had reservations, just like I had reservations. And he had a fleece. And he said, if the fleece is dry and the ground is wet, then I'll know that this is from God. And so he went to bed that night, got up the next day, and the fleece was dry and the ground was wet. My fleece was this: I will call my children and they will have to be unanimous in this decision for us to consider coming to Lyons. Now, we were staying with the Nafzigers, and it wasn't fair. I knew that Holly wouldn't pray. She'd just say yes. But she's been after us again. I think she has some selfish motives there. So she counted but didn't count. She counted. I called my daughter, Carrie, up in Wasilla, Alaska, and my daughter, my youngest daughter, this is the oldest daughter, my youngest daughter, Emily, who's in Dillon, Montana, and then my son in Eagle River, Alaska, my youngest. Carrie said, "Go for it, Dad." I told him to pray about it first, okay? Then I got back to him. He says, "Yes, we really feel this is what you need to do." She says, "Two down." Went third one, Emily. She says, "Dad, I really think that this is what God would have for you. I feel really good about this." And I, three down. I thought, I've got it made. I've got my son. I've got my practical son who just set me up on a 5-year plan for retirement and was helping me with the finances to get it so that I could retire in 5 years maybe. Just set me up. You know, his practicality is going to say, "Dad, we just got through setting you up on this plan. You're set in 5 years." I called him up and he said, "Dad, I think you should really take the opportunity." Boy. That was my fleece. Well, if you're really going to be true to the scripture, you'll find out that Gideon had another fleece, didn't he? And this time he said, "Let the ground be dry and let the fleece be wet." So I said, "I got another chance." So my fleece was that we were going to be going to church. Now, this has all happened within about 3 days. This is, we're going to be going to church at the Shift, where Holly and Chris and the family attend. And I will have to have a confirmation that there'll be no doubt. No doubt. Okay. Attitude check.
Praise the Lord.
Oh, you're a little bit weak. A little bit weak. Want to wake you up now. Okay. Okay. And so we went to the service, and believe it or not, Pastor Brad, who was in your missions convention, Pastor Brad was there, and he gave the message, and of all things, the title of his message was "The Interruptions in Life." And I thought, oh, that doesn't sound good. That sounds like it might be. And then he further says, "Well, we're so excited. Our co-pastor, who co-pastored the establishment of the church and been co-pastoring with him, was leaving and going to Louisiana, being called by God." So I'm thinking, oh my, that's 2 strikes, 3 strikes, I'm out. And then he started to preach his message on interruptions. And you know, we all have a thing about interruptions. What is the most aggravating thing in the world is that when you're talking and you're sharing something, and you're trying to share something, and people interrupt you, right? Isn't that true? You can't get it all out. You know, interruptions. They're very annoying. Well, and his text was the 10th chapter of Acts. And in the 10th chapter of Acts, there are three interruptions. One, the centurion was praying to God. He was a godly man. He was a Gentile, but he was praying to God. And as he was praying to God, there's an angel came and interrupted him and directed him to send for Peter, that Peter would come and have a message for him. I get excited about that because the angel couldn't deliver the message. God has not appointed unto angels to preach the gospel, but he's appointed you and me to preach the gospel. I don't want to see, this is the problem with the preacher. I'm going to preach another sermon in a different vein, but Pastor Denny, get back on thought. Okay. So they send them out to Peter. Now Peter is up on the roof of a house and he's praying and he's hungry. And so he tells them he's hungry and they're preparing him some food. Well, all of a sudden his prayer is interrupted by a sheet coming down from heaven, and he had a vision and he saw all manner of animals in that sheet that it wasn't kosher, as I would say. And the Lord told him, take, kill, and eat. He said, I've never done this before. You know, there's a lot of things this church has never done before that may be doing, because what God says is clean. The gospel of Jesus Christ is a precious, unchanging message, but the method of reaching people with it can vary immensely. So I'm 67 years old. I can be set in my ways too, but don't get set in your ways. Look at the fruit. Look at the fruit that comes from that. Okay. Anyway, he was interrupted. Peter, he's like me. He's very pig-headed. Three times that sheet had to come down for him to get the message. Finally, he got the message. The Gentile, individuals came and knocked at the door, and he knew why they were there because he got the message. And then he went with them, and the first Gentile service. See, we're Gentiles. The first one, that was the first service, was in Cornelius' house, as he had all of his family and all of his friends there to find out what Peter was going to preach. And then Peter started to preach. And I'm going to just move on here. You just take my word for it. You can look in the 10th chapter, 34th or 44th verse, I think it is. And he started to preach, and he was preaching up a storm, and all of a sudden, God interrupted his message, Pastor. He wasn't done. They started to get saved all throughout the congregation, and and the Holy Spirit fell, and they started to speak in tongues. And Peter should have gotten up there and said, no, wait a minute, we haven't had the altar call yet. Do you know that service, our children's church service, is closer to that service than almost every adult service? When we have the greatest amount of salvations is in the middle of children's church. In the middle is when God fell here and just encouraged my heart and made me warm all over, fuzzy everywhere. And so I really had to throw up my hands. And I what's really exciting about this is that God is interrupting our lives with opportunity. And he wants to interrupt your life with opportunities too. Interrupt your life to reach children for Jesus Christ. Give them that opportunity. And just as I know how God said to Moses in Exodus 3:12, certainly I will be with you. And he said to Joshua in Judges 6:16, surely I will be with you. And he impressed upon my heart, if you go to Lions, Oregon, I will be with you. And he brought me to a scripture that says in Isaiah 43:19, it says, "Behold, I will do a new thing." Isn't that exciting? Do you like the old things? We get comfortable with the old things, but God wants to do a new thing here in Lyons, Oregon. He wants to reach people that have never been reached before. He wants us to reach out and touch the lives of people that would normally not even darken the doors of a church. But for some reason, as they go by this church, they're going to feel the tug of the Holy Spirit saying there are people here. And we'll see people coming in off the street. Can you get excited about that? Yeah. They're going to come off the street. And don't let your age keep you from being the minister that God's called you to be. Don't let your family stand in the way of you being the minister that God has called you to be. Don't let your vacation keep you away from what God has called you to be. Don't let materialism, the things and other things of life, keep you from being what God's called you to be. We need to be a church and a people that follow after what God desires. Find out what God is doing and do it. Understand this very well. God is going to move in Lyons. He is going to move. Well, the reason I know that is that I've read so many books about the move of God. And when the move of God comes to a community, the hand of God and the Spirit of God will come from one church and give them the opportunity. And if they reject it, he will go to another church until he finds the people that will preach the gospel and reach people. And I'm telling you, God wants to reach children with the gospel of Jesus Christ. And he is coming to this church and he's saying to you today, he's saying, I desire to reach the kids for Jesus Christ. And yeah, I want to use you. I want to use you to reach the kids for Jesus Christ. And I've got to go to the scripture because he tells us how to do it. I'll find it here. It's in Mark. I need another hand. I don't have my glasses on and this is a miracle. I can read it. And it says in Mark 10:13-16, it says, "And they brought young children to him that he should touch them." They brought young children to them. They aren't going to get here on their own, folks. You have to bring them into the house of God. It isn't, praying is fine, but you physically have to go out. Grandmas and grandpas, bringing your grandkids, it's wonderful. Just do it because you're setting an example in their lives. Also, how are they going to know if they don't hear it being preached? They see it being preached from your perspective, but I'll tell you what, kids' church meets them right where they're at. If you have a hard time talking the lingo of today, we won't there. I may be 66, soon to be 67 years old, but I know children. And the knowledge I have is only that which God gives me. God gives me an opportunity. We will reach kids for Christ because we're going to have, those of you who are workers know that there's a three-letter word that we have to have to reach kids for Jesus Christ. And it's not quiet. It's called F-U-N. Fun! And if you're not having fun when you're ministering, then you need to have fun wherever you're ministering. The kids will want fun. My children's workers are going to have fun. And when you stop having fun, then, you know, why do it? You got to have fun. And it says, we'll read on, "And he should touch them. And his disciples rebuked those that brought them." Oh man, we got kids crawling all over the church today. They're running in the halls. They're in the bathrooms. They're over here. Man alive, why can't that children's pastor keep control of his kids? Just praise God they're here. Amen? Just praise God they're here. Don't complain. Get on board. Come on and be a children's worker. We'll put you to work. There's so many things to do. There's registration. You can check people off, right? Can you do like a check mark? You know, just, that's it. That's all you have to do. Registration. We need storytellers. We need people that can come and be a monitor. Just be there and stand there. And you, when you stand there, you don't just stand there. You worship God in children's church. Any worker that's going to be working in our children's church has to be worshipers of God. They need to see you worshiping God, singing the songs along with them, going through, being a monitor, you know, trying to keep order, sitting down by one that may be a little unruly, that might draw away from the attention of the other students. And we've got all kinds of ways of crowd control, believe me, but we need the workers. We need to have Vacation Bible School. Needs to get going for every summer. We need to have a release time class in some way touching our school here, first through eighth grade, with a release time class. It's exciting. It can happen, just like it happened in Spray, a little town like that, little tiny town, 125, you count all the cats and dogs. That's one-tenth the size of Lyons. That means if we could have 40 or so kids there, we should be able to have 400 here. I tell you, you get kids excited about something, they'll be there. But they need to get here. We need a van driver. We need a van monitor. One that goes in the van with them. There's the only thing that's holding us back from reaching the children for Jesus Christ in Lyons, Oregon is workers. That's the only thing holding us back. I guarantee it. When you hear about what's happening in Children's Church, you'll do just exactly what happened in Spray. All of a sudden I looked out there, my people were gone. Where's so-and-so and so-and-so and so-and-so? You got a little church, you miss them. And then all of a sudden, magically, they would appear. And I thought, well, they're not all coming that late. I found out that in the basement was a long basement. And when kids' church was going on, the adults were sneaking out, going downstairs and lining up on the wall and watching the puppet presentation. The puppet presentation would get done, and then they'd wander back upstairs. You're all kids at heart. Don't kid me. You can't be sit there and be so sophisticated that I can't get turned on by a puppet. And I'm hoping that we can have children's programs right here, from this platform. You know, give the kids a chance to let you come to their kids' church once. I think it'd be fantastic. I have a myriad of things to share, but Pastor Tim, I think that's really where we're at. We just need help. And we're not begging you for help, because it's going to be the best thing that you've ever done with your life. You're going to have, what are you going to have?
Fun.
What are you going to have?
Fun.
Okay, attitude check.
Praise the Lord.
Pastor Tim.
Yeah, attitude check.
We're gonna feed you guys. It's all good. It's all good. You can make it.
So now, if God has tugged on your heart, you know, man, I can register kids, or I can drive a van, or I can sit with the kids, and we need a big team so that you don't have to do that every week. There's a sign out up table right out here. Towards the door there with opportunities for you to sign up and be part of the team that we're going to have do the children. You can all find something to do, right? There's lots and lots of needs. And if you're interested, Pastor Cheryl's going to tell you something.
So this Friday night, we're going to have an informational meeting, and we're going to feed you for that. But we need to know how many of you are going to plan on coming. So this isn't signing your life away. You're just saying,
I want to come and find out what all there is to this and what I could possibly do. So we're going to have it about 5:30 or 6. If you just sign up today, we'll email you, call you, text you, whatever the best way to get a hold of you is, and let you know the time for sure. And come here. Like I said, we're going to feed you, and we're going to hear a lot more about how we can plug in and be part of what God is doing in this canyon.
Now, you may have been wondering, why was Denny wearing a cowboy hat and all that stuff? Well, see, that is his character that has to do with children. That's part of the children having fun, is having him being in character. And so you got to see a glimpse of that. We're going to ask Pastor Denny and Dee to come forward, and we're going to have a little prayer over them, just commissioning them and welcoming them to our congregation, and just have a time of blessing over them. Could I get people to come forward, and we're going to lay hands on them? That's what we do here. We like laying hands on people because that's what the Word says for us to do. So we're going to just commission them and pray over them, and we're going to believe God for great things in this place. Amen?
Yes.
We are going to believe God. If you can't come up, just stretch out your hand in blessing over them. Father God, we have seen your hand at work in bringing this wonderful couple here. You know the lives and needs of the children in this community, and you want to express your love to them. And so you have orchestrated many, many, many things to bring us to this point. And right now, in the name of Jesus, we commission Pastor Denny and Pastor Dee for the role that you have given them. We release them. We ask Holy Spirit, fill them, guide them, bless this ministry beyond anything we can imagine. And while we're ministering to the children, may it also overflow to their parents, their grandparents, their loved ones, their families. This place is going to be filled with people, people who need you. Right now, in the name of Jesus, we thank you for our new children's pastors, and everyone said, amen, amen, amen. Amen. Amen.